Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome back to Kitchen Club with me, Sarah Malcolm, and my beautiful friend, Serena Louth.
Kitchen Club is the weekly podcast that brings you conversations from the kitchen table. Each week, we have a brilliant new guest, a new area of expertise to get stuck into, and a new recipe which is created using our guest's three favourite ingredients.
This week, we speak to the glorious Lottie Murphy. Lottie is a Pilates teacher, lifestyle blogger, avid bookworm, and founder of the Lottie Murphy Pilates app. She loves creating community and promoting a balanced lifestyle on her channels. We speak to Lottie about Pilates, her love of food, her very honest struggles with mental health, and how she continues to prioritize her well-being and find balance.
Lottie, it was an absolute joy to talk to, so we know you're going to love this episode. She is an all-round certified mega babe. As always, please do subscribe, leave us a review, share with your loved ones, and follow us on Instagram at Kitchen Club Podcast, where you can find this week's delicious recipe. So without further ado, here is the wonderful Lottie Murphy on Kitchen Club.
Welcome, Lottie, to Kitchen Club. It's so lovely to have you here today.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. My first ever podcast.
I was about to say, it's so exciting. Yeah. We're honoured to take your podcast virginity.
Yeah, I'm nervous, but I'm excited. I hope I don't swear. We're not allowed to swear.
You can swear if you want. Okay.
We're not live on. Sometimes these things come out and it's
panic.
We're not live on Channel 4. It's fine. Lottie, we're obviously so thrilled to have you. Serena and I are big Lottie Murphy fans, so it's such a joy. But we are going to kick this off, as we always do, with your three favorite ingredients, and then telling you our recipe that we/Serena only has created for you. So can you remember what you gave us as your three favorite ingredients?
I think I can. I was thinking about this morning. It was definitely lemon and salt. Was it? Yeah. And that, or was it olive oil?
Olive oil.
Lemon and olive oil. Hopefully there's some salt in there as well. Yeah. And I think it was some sort of pasta, linguine or spaghetti. Yeah.
Best ingredient ever.
Honestly, I make something with those ingredients every week, probably more than once a week. I'm excited to hear what you've made.
I'll tell you what I've made, and then we can chat to you a little bit about food. So,
yeah,
this is quite a long story. Have you watched Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy?
I haven't, but I need to.
It's gorgeous, and you must watch it. Anyway, in the episode where he goes to the Amalfi Coast, he has a bowl of courgette spaghetti that he says is life-changing. So I watched it and said, okay, I have to make that. And I made it, and my husband confirmed, like, yes, that is pretty incredible. But it was quite tenuous, like it was quite labor intensive. You had to deep fry everything and it just took a long time. So what I've made for you is my cheats version of Stanley Tucci's life-changing pasta. I think it's called Spaghetti alla Nerano. Nice Italian accent there.
Lovely.
But his doesn't have lemon, so I've added lemon, and it's basically spaghetti with slow-cooked courgettes with lemon, parmesan, basil, lots of salt, lots of olive oil, and the courgettes kind of mush down and make a sauce, which sounds not that appealing, but it tastes amazing.
That does sound life-changing. I've never thought to do something like that with courgette. I would usually, tomatoes that would like mulch down, but I am so excited to try this, make this. I'm so glad there was parmesan there as well, because you cannot not have parmesan with the lemon and pasta.
No.
So we'll send you the recipe. I'm sorry we haven't made it for you. And I'm sorry that I've just ripped off Stanley Tucci's recipe, but it is delish. So
I feel like most recipes are just rip-offs of other recipes, right? Anyway, exactly. With a little twist.
Oh, exactly. Always. Yeah. So we'll have to let's eat it all together and then go for a swim in Brockwell Lido together.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds perfect. That sounds so dreamy. I think we're going to have some sun in April, so let's do it then.
Oh, heaven.
Lottie, if you could have only one of those ingredients and you had to remove the other two, which would be your like, this is the one that's staying forever? Olive oil.
Yeah. Just because, so I mean, good. not to just sit, no, we're not talking about just like, that's all I can have, is it? No. Just sit and drink olive oil for the rest of my life. Because, just like some, sourdough bread, some olive oil with a bit of salt, on everything.
Yeah.
Like good quality olive oil.
The best. My friend and friend of the podcast, Melissa Hemsley, got me a really lovely subscription for my 30th birthday last year for extra virgin olive oil. And it was with the Two Fields olive oil, which are really lovely farmers, Greek, I think it's Greek. I should probably know more about this seeing as I had the subscription. But it was such a lovely gift to get, because I just got this like the most delicious bottle of olive oil every month, and obviously got through it because, you know, olive oil is life.
Yeah. What a good idea. I love that. Yeah, I love that like everything can be a subscription now. I just subscribed to a wine subscription It was that drink. Is it drink Ami? Ami.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now every month I get some rosé and some red wine. And I'm just lovely. Like, why have I never done this before?
Lovely. I've never tried their wine actually.
Oh,
it's great.
Yeah, really good. Really great.
Where's your favorite just easy to drink in London?
Oh gosh. It would have to be somewhere southeast, because I just think southeast has just got so many great foodie spots. It changes all the time. It used to be Kudu, which is like a South African, they had their one restaurant near Queen's Road, Peckham, and they've just opened up a couple more, one in Nunhead now, Kudu Grill, like slightly more casual, because the Kudu original restaurant is quite sort of, I think it's Michelin star, like a bit more formal, quite pricey, but like such gorgeous experience. But I would say now it would probably be Larry's, which is literally just outside of Peckham Rye train station. And it's like, you can go there for lunch, you can go there for like tasting food in the evening, really good wine, like small, cozy, relaxed, just, really good. So yeah, that would probably be my favorite at the moment. I've just started working, I sort of work near there, and sometimes I just like pop in there for a bowl of pasta for lunch, and I'm like, I need to stop doing this.
Never stop. Life is made for, of dreams are made of.
Oh, for sure. That is like, life made, if you can do that.
I just adore how much of like lifestyle you share on Instagram, Lottie, and how seemingly, and this may not be the case, seemingly food is such an important role in your life and such a like joy in your life. Has that always been the case? Like, have you always loved that kind of eating out and just love of food?
Yeah, I would say definitely. Like, I've been through phases where my relationship with food and my body has changed, you know, throughout my late teens, sort of early 20s. But I've luckily always been, my girl group is, we were never like into like just doing shots and going to raves. We like, our meetups would be like, go for a nice dinner with some nice drinks. Like that was just like, we'd just love that. So we've always like chosen nice restaurants to go to, and really been into like food more than drinking. But I do feel that I sort of lost my love of food when I was at ballet school, sort of first year. I was always someone that could just like eat whatever they wanted as well, and like didn't even think about food in terms of like, oh, what I eat then affects like my body. Like I didn't really think like that growing up. And then ballet school sort of changed that. I sort of remember a really sad moment. My dad got really upset because my dad used to make spaghetti bolognese every Monday growing up. Cute. And I remember sort of second year of ballet school, I just sort of stopped. I would come home from ballet school and I was like, no, I'm not going to have spaghetti bolognese. And like, I'd have something like, I don't know, I can't even remember what I would have, but it was like, I cannot eat spaghetti bolognese, you know? And I remember my dad being really upset that I'd stopped eating it because, and then I was just like, yeah, it took a few years to fall back in love. And actually, it was actually sort of like people like Madeline Shaw and Deliciously Ella that really helped me fall back in love with food, because I got into that like clean eating period where like I couldn't eat like a packet of, like, I don't know, like donuts or like anything that had any like bad in it. This was like sort of early 20s. And then when sort of food blogs came out, I knew I needed to put on weight and I needed to fall back in love with food, but I was still a bit afraid of like bad food, if there is such thing as bad food.
Quote unquote, yeah.
But these people, you know, these girls that were making like, you know, butternut squash salads and like hummus with like, you know, chickpea and olive oil. And I was just, that was sort of, yeah, I just, that was a really great journey for me back to fall in love with food. And then I've had issues with my tummy and my gut. And actually, you know, I've had times when I've been vegan and gluten-free, but the best thing for me, which is one of those things where obviously I don't wish it happened, but when I had a really bad period of mental health in 2019, one of the ways that I got better was to just like eat whatever I want and just, you know, not label myself as anything. And that just created such a healthy relationship with me, with food and my body, and just eating for joy, you know, and not worrying about anything. So yeah, it's been a journey like everyone, but it really is such a big part of my life.
Yeah. You can tell that. And it does feel really joyful, like watching your stories and your life unfold on Instagram. You know, obviously it's a snapshot of real life, but it like, for me, I'm like, oh, what's Lottie eating? Oh, that looks like, I'm going to eat something more like what Lottie's eating. You know, it is really joyful. And it's so nice to hear you say that clean eating movement, it's something we haven't really spoken about on the podcast, actually, was beneficial for you, because obviously it did have such a backlash. And obviously with me and Serena both working for Ella, we were kind of in that life and both had the same experience, I guess. And for me, being diagnosed with PCOS and also enjoying that movement made me fall back in love with food and feel safe with food and found ingredients to be something to be celebrated rather than, you know, restrictive. So yeah, it's really nice to hear that was a help for you.
Yeah, it was. And I think, I've just sort of continued to like strip it back even more, you know, like get more relaxed. Like I remember there was probably a time when I didn't eat fries for like years, and now I would say fries is like my main food group, like, honestly. It's like, how?
I know, madness.
Do you love cooking as well as eating, and if so, what sort of things do you like cooking?
I'm so nosy about this. I love knowing what people cook for dinner on a weeknight.
So I do love cooking, and I love hosting. So if I had, like, I would, we just got someone gifted us a really amazing cookbook recently called Feast. I can't remember who it's by, but it's
Is it Mira Sodell?
Yes.
Is it? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, I want to make loads of stuff from this book, so I'm going to host a dinner party. So I invited like friends around. I like to have an excuse to sort of host people and cook food for them on a week, like to week basis. I have my like go-to recipes, like my easy things. So that might be like just like a Thai curry with noodles, a spaghetti dish. Actually, the one I make with the lemon and olive oil on the pasta is an Anna Jones recipe with kale and tomatoes. Mm. And it's all in one pan. Quite a famous one, I think. Quite a well-known one, but it's literally just so easy. Everything in one pan. I make that loads. So yeah, I do enjoy cooking. I would say again, like since my relationship with food and my body and things have relaxed, I actually just like get takeaway a lot more often and eat out a lot more and just have like beans on toast. Like I'm not as worried about what
beans on toast.
Yeah. Or just like, I just sort of feel like I think less about food and what I'm putting in my body. So I enjoy it more. So there's a lot less actual like preparation time in the kitchen, things like that. Cause sometimes I'm just like, just whatever. Yeah. But for me, like maybe when I, you know, maybe I'll go for a phase when I'm always in the kitchen in 10 years time or 5 years time, I just feel like I'm going through a bit of a phase where I'm not worried as much about, yeah.
Also living in London, embrace it. You know, we're so spoiled with food choices and eating out, and yeah, so like you never know what's going to happen in the future, not in a horrible way, as in like your life might take you somewhere where there's no reference. So
yeah, enjoy it while it's there. No, for sure. And also just, you know, obviously from the last couple of years, I think just being able to go out is just such a, and like celebrate and support these local restaurants and cafes is so important.
And whilst we're talking about your relationship with your body and your relationship with food, I wonder if this is a good time to start talking about Pilates and how Pilates has helped your relationship with your body, how you fell in love with it, how you keep yourself in love with it. You've got such an amazing online studio and I'm a huge fan of your classes.
Oh, thank you. Yes, so I definitely feel like it's been just like obviously life-changing for me. At ballet school, we did Pilates every, we had it sort of, I can't even remember, we had like once a week or, but it was very, I was like the only one that loved it out of the whole year. Everyone found it really boring, especially because you want to, you know, when you're at ballet school, you just want to move, you want to dance, you want to, you know, be with a partner and, which I loved all of that. But with Pilates, it was about just being on my mat. I didn't have to look in the mirror. I didn't have to impress the director of the school. I didn't have to be like picked for a role when I was on my mat. It was just about moving my body efficiently, functionally, getting it to be healthy, my joints to be healthy, to prevent myself from getting injured as a dancer, and just to listen to my breath. And I found that being on my mat just so peaceful and so grounding when the rest of the time I was like so worried about everything and like the pressure to be the best and to be really good. So it helped a lot. I used to do about an hour of Pilates before school just by myself, and just kept it up after, and I sort of fell out of love with ballet. And I remember asking our Pilates teacher at I went to Central School of Ballet at the time. I said, oh, how did you, you know, become a teacher? And maybe it's something I would want to do. And she was like, no, don't worry about that yet. Like way in the future, have your dance career first. And I, then when I left school and I knew I didn't want to dance professionally, a lot of people were getting jobs, you know, in bars and which was great. But I thought, well, why don't I just do my Pilates training and just see what happens? You know, maybe teach a few classes a week while I'm auditioning, doing other things. So I did my training when I was about 19, 20, and luckily got really great connection with a teacher and a studio near where I lived at the time in Kent, and was just sort of thrown in the deep end with lots of hours at her studio. And she had such a range of clients, from like everyone with any sort of injury would walk through the door, people up to like the age of 85, you know, just like we're seeing so many incredible people, and how Pilates was just really transforming their lives. You know, they couldn't live without it, and just being able to help in that way. And I sort of made it a career from then, from like the get-go, and I just didn't look back. And I just still find, I mean, that's like, yeah, 10 years ago, and I still just find it, I feel like there's so much more to keep going. You know, there's so much more to learn. There's so many people in the world to reach, and yeah, don't ever get bored of it.
Yeah.
I feel very lucky.
I mean, 10 years, like having a whole career in your 20s that you love is quite rare, really, isn't it, for so many people?
Yeah.
And how has teaching kind of shifted for you, Lottie? I mean, because you had your online studio before the pandemic, right? Or did that launch?
No, that launched during. So I had the YouTube channel before the pandemic. I started the YouTube in like 2013. Honestly, those wow. first, then you can't find those videos now. They are gone. Those first ones are hilarious. Like my friend, I was at my pet when we first, I think the first one that's shot, it's shot in portrait mode as well. So it's like the middle of the screen. Like, and my friend was living with me at the time with my parents. So it was my parents and my friend living. And I was like, can you just film me doing some like tricep dips? And like, I'm just going to put it up on YouTube and like people can do it. She's holding the, I can't even think what it was. It was probably like, I don't remember if it was on a phone or like a little mini digital camera or something, but she's like moving to the place. And I'm like, there's like pieces of furniture in the way, and I'm like bashing into the furniture. It is, they are so bad. But yeah, I started that from so long ago, and that was really sporadic. You know, I was quite consistent at times and then not consistent and consistent. But I think it just, something happened where some of the videos just really took off, and then started to build an online community. And then, yeah, and then it was, the year before the pandemic, 2019, I wasn't very well with my mental health. So I just took myself sort of out of everything, you know, offline and off of YouTube. And I was really also quite adamant that I would never go back to it. I was even like looking at other jobs and other, I was supporting friends that were in the industry rather than like being the face of it myself. But then it was actually sort of the pandemic that made me fall back in love with like putting Pilates out there, because I was just getting so many lovely messages of people discovering my videos and just being like, this has helped me so much during this time. So I thought, well, let's go for it again. So it's one of those nice stories, I think.
Yeah, a love story. Yeah. I mean, it's so brave of you to just put things out there. My partner always tells me done is better than perfect. And I think we can get in our own heads, can't we, of like whatever we put out has to be really perfect and, you know, like top notch. And maybe that shift, I mean, I know that shift for you now because your videos are absolutely wonderful. But if anyone listening is kind of in that feeling of, oh, I don't know where to start, and, you know, I don't have the means to make things perfect, I don't have a great camera or whatever, but just go for it, just putting it out. And
yeah,
you know, you never know where it's going to take you and who's going to watch things and where it's going to lead to.
Yeah, for sure. And also just like everyone has their little community that are going to really enjoy your style and your way of teaching. It could be something about your voice or the cues that you say, you know, if we're talking about Pilates and yoga. I just think there like really is room for everyone. It's hard now when I get, I don't know whether you guys get asked for like advice about where to start, what to do, da, da, da. And it does feel so different. Like if I was to start from complete scratch now and like no one
no one's done my Pilates before. I've just qualified. And I was to like enter the world of like wellness and yoga and Pilates now, especially in the digital world, I would be like, whoa, like I would feel overwhelmed. And so it is so hard to give advice because it's just so different. Do you guys find that?
Definitely, especially now that everything's online, because it means that, you know, you used to just like be one of the yoga teachers in your area and there could only be so many yoga teachers in Battersea or wherever. Whereas now, because it's all online, I don't want to use the word competition, but you know what I mean? There's so many other people doing the same thing and you're all accessible from anywhere. But yeah, I think you're right. I think to start something now is totally different and probably, you know, quite a lot more challenging, maybe. I don't want to say that because that makes it sound like it wasn't hard for us. We still did a good job. I think it's very different now.
It is. And I try and encourage people to just like, go back to like the why. Like, why did they train to be a teacher? And like, if it's about, you know, being on the front cover of a magazine, then like, that's not, you know, it's not about having the thousands and thousands of followers. So maybe go back to like having a local class in a church down the road, or, you know, teaching your mum's friends, or like, you know, just start from somewhere small rather than looking at whatever, you know, people that have been doing it for 10 years are doing.
I agree. I think it must definitely feel overwhelming, but I always say that there's always room for more. You know, there's always a teacher or like a Pilates teacher, yoga teacher, or any kind of coach that is right for someone. And you don't know if you're stepping into the world of that, you don't know how many people's lives you could change, or, you know, it could be two people's lives and that would be like, wow, that is a job well done, you know? So I think there's always room for it. If anyone is listening and thinking about starting that, then just go for it, because you never know. Lottie, let's speak about community then, because I feel like it is something that's so important to you, because obviously you've got your wonderful online studio, but it has become so much more than that. And it is more about kind of friendship and eating nice food together and pastries and, you know, please may you just speak for that a little bit. Like, how does it feel to have built a community?
Yeah, I think I feel so grateful. I always, if we're talking about, you know, the online community, I think it, for me, it's funny because it almost doesn't feel online. It doesn't feel digital because I do feel such a personal connection with a lot of my followers and members and clients. And I feel really grateful to have such a lovely, you know, everyone's just so lovely. You're just like, oh my God, they're so lovely. I want you to all be my friends. And I just try and be, I think the more like yourself you can be, and, you know, that's, I definitely have boundaries. I don't, you know, I don't put my whole self out there, but I am, when I do put myself out there, I am myself. And I think like, even from in the way that I teach, I try and, I try and keep that essence of just realness, so that people feel like that I'm a real person. You know, I think with that online, it can sometimes not feel like that. I think when it's about, you know, obviously Pilates is a huge part of what I do and a part of why people follow me, but I'm more than that as well, you know, whether it's reading the books or the food I eat or places I'm going. And that was a big decision that I had to make when I decided not to like have a separate like Instagram account for the virtual studio and for the membership and for all the Pilates stuff. I kept it all under the same, and I was like, oh, is this the right thing to do? Because like, one minute I'm, you know, talking about you know, what's coming up in the studio and it's all lovely, and then the next minute I'm like out on a night out and I'm posting my cocktails, and does it sort of, you know, does that work? And I was like, well, there's no right or wrong, is there? It works for me. And yeah, I'm just going with it, really. There's no rule book, is there?
No, definitely not. And I think not in a comparison, but for probably the most successful online teacher, Yoga with Adrian, you know, she it's not professional. It's like, it's conversational. It's Benji, her dog. And that's what people are drawn to, just being human and like seeing that humanity in each other. And yeah, if it was like all prim and proper, and it wouldn't be you, it wouldn't be your creation.
Yeah, so. And I think that's as well, like you can tell with Yoga with Adrian that she doesn't have, I mean, I'm sure she has people that help her and work her, but you can tell that it's her behind every post and it's her words, and, you know, maybe other people are helping along the way, but it's not this huge machine, you know, right. It seems like a small team, and I've or no matter how much I will grow or have grown, I've always want to keep it like that as well. And people can reach me, like even the customer service and stuff. I'm like, I don't know if you get people being like, hi, Lottie's team. And then like, I'm afraid like, hi, from like, love Lottie. And like, I don't think people realize that they are actually coming through like to you, like if something's not working. But I think that's nice.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's all probably what's part of makes you so appealing, is that it is a mixture of who you are and your Pilates. Because I personally think there's something quite, not unappealing, but for me, it doesn't gel, like a Pilates teacher who only drinks green juice and is in bed by 8 o'clock every day and, you know, is like so health fanatical. I think for you, the fact that people see that you do your Pilates and then you eat a big croissant and some days you'll stay in and some days you'll go and drink cocktails is what makes you so real and human and like accessible to people, because it's, what's the word? It's achievable for people. People don't want to just like be obsessed with Pilates and not do anything else.
Yeah.
So you're setting the bar for like a very balanced, attainable, lovely lifestyle that's very appealing.
Oh, yeah. And it is just, you know, it's one part of your life. And it's the same with Pilates. Like, as much as it's my career and it's a big part of my life, but my career is also only one part of my life. You know, the same, I can see that so clearly with you guys as well. You have your friendship groups and there's so many other things. I think that's why it's so important to take time offline and to give attention to those other things in your life. And we work for ourselves, so we can, you know, it's that, I think you forget, don't you? But that's a journey. I mean, I used to work so much. Like, I'd sit on my laptop till like midnight just doing, I don't even know what now. I think back, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, probably writing a blog post and then emailing someone about teaching somewhere, and then like just feeling like I had to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And then, yeah, it's so such a relief when you get to a point where you're like, I don't have to do that anymore, or I don't, that's not what success is. Actually, I was teaching on a retreat a couple of weeks ago, and then this lovely lady who's a member came, and she brought her husband just sort of last minute, and he was obviously quite into business, and he sort of was trying to get his head around like my business and how it all works, you know, because it's not traditional. He was like, so once you've filmed your videos, you've taught your classes, and you've like replied to emails and stuff, like, so then what, like, what else do you do? And I was like, just go to a coffee shop and read my book sometimes, like on a Tuesday afternoon, or like just give myself a day off and mooch around. And he was like, oh, it's quite a nice life you've got there, isn't it? I was like, well, yeah, it's actually like, and I think just being able to say like, well, I'm not busy all the time, but isn't that great? It's really nice. And I felt really nice being able to say that and not have to justify like I was doing something productive all the time.
Yeah. I think that's a great, sorry, Serena. I can't even find the words to have. Blah, 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 blah. I just think that's so nice in this day and age to, yeah, as you said, to be able to not justify it, and like being busy doesn't equal success. So, and it's so important for you, and you know that through your own journey, that you know you need time to sit and read a book, and that will make your business thrive more, you know, to have that balance.
Yeah, 100%.
Is that shift in how you do things at all tied into 2019 when you had some struggles with your mental health? Was, do you think that there was a turning point that you were hustling and then you had some struggles and now you've found more balance as a way of looking after yourself?
Yeah, there is a huge turning point. Like 2019, I think it's just such a, like, I'll never forget that year. And it's quite funny at the moment. It was strange for me as well. Like where people are saying, you know, from, you know, 2020 and 2021, where we feel like we've lost these 2 years. But for me, it's really been 3 years. Not that I've lost, but that feel like this sort of, well, 2019 just feels like a sort of a blank, but a big, important blank, you know. And yeah, when I was, you know, I became ill on Christmas Eve 2018. And it honestly was like a light switch, like overnight. Woke up on Christmas Day, 4 a.m., and was just not the same person. Like, it was like a little switch in my brain, it just changed. And it was awful. Like, I can't even, I still find it hard sometimes to speak about how bad it was. Like, it was really, really bad. And I tried really hard to help myself. And then after a few weeks, I had to ask for help. I was meditating, I was going for walks. I was like, it's going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And then it was just like, no, I can't even, this is not going away with all this stuff. And I just rang my mom and I said, can you come over? And we went for a walk and I just broke down and I just said, there's something like really, really, really wrong with me. I'm not very well. And it was really hard to describe. I just thought I was going mad. And I was having really bad intrusive thoughts. And I just, my anxiety was absolutely through the roof to the point where I couldn't just do anything. I couldn't work. I couldn't shower. It was like being in my head was just so hard. And I'd never thought I'd experience, you know, you just don't think you're going to experience something like that. And we didn't really know how to get help either. It was like, where do we turn? And it was a long journey to get in help. But then it was just a period of rest, like a long period of rest. I was on a lot of medication, which made me rest. It was like I was just wiped out, like, you know, but that was important. I was sleeping like 16 hours a day. But that was such a big part of like getting better. It's really hard to know, you know, how to describe that time. I need to just take myself almost out of the world for a bit. And I would just sit in space and sort of, when I started to feel better, I would just sit on my sofa and for hours, just like do nothing, like not even watch TV or magazines, but just sit like so peacefully as well. When I started to be able to be in my own head. And I don't think I've ever truly rested like that in my life.
What do you do these days to help you then, to help keep you level and prioritize yourself and be kind to your mind and make sure that you are taking things as easy as you need to?
I think that a lot of it is just about not taking on too much. Like, I think I definitely can make myself busy. I'm quite a social person as well as enjoy, you know, I love doing different projects. And this is the hard thing with the condition that I have, is that when I'm feeling good, I'm like, you know, I want to like run with it and I want to do everything. And then when I'm feeling bad, I'm like, get me off
everything. Like, what am I doing? You know, it's almost like one extreme to the other. And I definitely have to work on finding like the middle with that, so that it's not like, and I speak to my, you know, therapist about this. Sometimes I do feel like I have two me, you know, that the me that I feel is like invincible and could like go out every night of the week and take on every single project and travel, you know, to all these different countries and teach retreats here and then do a trip there and then go out with my friend and go to that wedding. And then there's realizing that like you're not invincible as well, and like you're gonna hit a breaking point if you keep living like that. So I do now have a little thing where I will look at my I have a paper diary rather than a digital diary. So like a lot of things I do are off my phone as much as I can. Obviously a lot of things are on my phone, but one of those things is having a paper diary, and I will look through my weeks and then just do big crosses over like certain days or even like a whole week. So if I have a busy period, even then like the whole week I'll write like rest and restorative week, like over the whole week. So I know just not to book anything in that week. And like, maybe I will do a bit of work or, you know, or sit in a coffee shop and do some research or something, but I'm not going to book a meeting in, I'm not going to do anything. And that really helps. Another thing that really helps is taking care of my home. I remember when I was in recovery, just one of like the things that brought me so much joy, because I couldn't do anything for so many months, was like putting a wash on or just like for hours having some music in and like cleaning the bathroom. Because like where I'd spent so many years so busy and I didn't prioritize those things, and it would stress me out because I'd be like, the bathroom needs to be cleaned, the bathroom needs to be cleaned. Like, oh, I've got to put a wash on, and then the house would be messy. And not that like I'm someone that needs it to be like perfect and neat all the time, but like it would affect my mental health. It was more the fact that I wasn't doing it and I needed to do it, but I was too busy to do it. So now it's just like making those tasks like a nice activity in themselves, like listening to a nice podcast and cleaning the bathroom, or sorting through my clothes drawer and like tidying everything up into piles and like getting rid of things I don't want anymore. Looking after my space is like a big one, and but enjoying it, not feeling stressed doing it.
It's incredibly grounding, isn't it, doing those like simple tasks. Incredibly grounding. And we had I think in season two the wonderful Robert Gray, who came on the podcast talking about Reiki, and he said like one big thing, if you want to cleanse your space, you know, you don't necessarily have to have Palo Santo or sage, is just to clean, like literally sweep your floor or dust the surface. And it still has that same kind of cleansing, clearing, grounding element to it.
Oh my gosh, it's huge, isn't it? And like the whole, is it Maria Kondo, where you're, you know, you only have things that mean something to you or like you love. And like, sometimes my friends come around and they're like, where's all your stuff? Like, and like, so me and Sam are both really good at that. We're just like, look, don't use it anymore. Get rid of it. Give it to charity or like, you know, second hand. And I feel like we are really good at consistently like clearing things that we don't use or we don't need. And not that it looks like completely minimal, but people are just like, I'm confused. Like, where's all your like bits and bobs? Like, you know, just like all those bits and bobs. So yeah, that helps.
I'm a firm believer in like tidy house, tidy mind. I feel like whenever the house is a mess, that will make me feel anxious. It will make me feel scattered. It will make me feel all over the place. So I love that. I completely agree. Yeah. But I'm not very good at letting go of things. I'm not very good at tidying and giving things away.
Like maybe you just need like a cupboard of all the stuff, you know what I mean? That like cupboard of boxes,
Monica,
of stuff you don't want to give away. Yeah,
you Monica need to cupboard. Teach me, Lottie.
I just want to add as well, Lottie, I mean, I went a bit quiet when you with you speaking about your with 2019. I got very tearful, and I remember sitting in a coffee shop reading your newsletter. That, and I don't know if it was, I don't know where you know, where it came in your year. And it was the most heartfelt thing I think I've ever read in my life. The most honest thing. And I'm going to start crying now. I don't know why. I'm feeling very emotional. And I was just sitting there like tears streaming down my face. And I think I replied to it, like never expecting a reply, but it was just, you know, it's things that you, and especially then, I think more so now that people are opening up about it, but then it was just like, oh wow, you don't expect someone who, you know, seemingly is so successful, who has it all, who is like, you know, you kind of idolize. And it was so, I think it was so important. And it must have been incredibly hard for you to write, but I hope you got, you know, incredible support as well. But I just wanted to add that because I think it was so brave and yeah, just like, yeah.
Yeah, I struggled. I was really, thank you, Sarah. I didn't know whether to put that out. And it was about, yeah, it was the April, I think, or May of that year. So I was still on a lot of medication, but I was definitely sort of feeling myself a little bit more. And yeah, and I think I just felt that I needed to say something. I think as well, like I had a period of time where I think you can come off Instagram, you can almost like deactivate your account, but not completely delete it forever. Mm. And a funny thing, bless my husband Sam, he at the time, in support of me coming offline, did the same thing but deleted his entire account. And he's a model, so he actually had like quite a big following. And now we just always laugh about it a bit because we're like, oh my god, he can never get that account back. I was in like the depth of like, you know, not, you know, depression and anxiety, like honestly so bad. And I still had this little thing in my head was like, maybe I shouldn't just delete that whole thing I'd worked on for so long. But that was, I think, what was it, was that I had a period of time where I was going to recruitment agencies to try and find another job. I hadn't worked for that whole year. So we were really struggling, you know, financially. And because there was no money coming in, I wasn't teaching, I wasn't doing any. At the time, 2018, I was working with a lot of brands. I was at that year was like, I think I went to about 14 countries in 2018. I'd gone on so many planes, really bad. I'd worked with so many brands. I was like, when I look back now, I'm like, yeah, you were pushing yourself too much. But I was, you know, I was, then we just bought our house as well. So we moved in January 2019, and then I was suddenly ill and was making no money, and we had this mortgage as well. So I was like, oh no. So I started to look at recruitment agencies, and I was like looking at other jobs I could do. And then, and I actually took a job, like a corporate job. And again, this is something my friends laugh about now. They're like, we actually cannot imagine you doing that. And I'm like, I know, that was, and I did it for a week and I threw up. On the second day, I just threw up, like literally like in the hallway of the office as well. And I wasn't ill. It was just like my body going like, no. Like, what are you doing? And then I quit on the Thursday, on the fourth day. So I lasted 4 days. But then that was another like, oh, what am I doing? You know, I felt so lost. I'd lost myself. I'd lost my career. I just felt like I'd lost everything, like probably feeling a bit sorry for myself in a way. And then I just thought, well, I've got this community out there that want to hear from me, and I spent so many years building that, and I just felt like I wanted to put something out there. And that's why I just was like, yeah, let's just tell them what's been going on. Yeah,
very brave.
I actually remember getting that email as well, now you say it, Sarah. And it's funny, isn't it? You don't remember any of the newsletters people send you. And I now remember that one as well. Aww. So yes, thank you. And you're so brave. It's amazing. I think it's so important that people are talking more openly about their mental health. And I remember when you came back onto Instagram, I remember that quite vividly as well, when you came back onto Instagram and kind of explained where you've been. And that will, I'm sure, have helped so many people who are struggling in silence.
Mm. Serena, you helped so much that time you came round and gave me reflexology, because I can't remember what stage that was at either.
I think that was just after you'd done the 4 days in the corporate job.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Mm. And I was probably just like lost, but I remember just that. I felt so peaceful. And I think we talk the whole time, because you said, like, do you want it to be silence or do you want to talk the whole time? I think you asked me that. And I think we had a bit of a chat the whole time.
I think you're right. But I think maybe we did more than one. So maybe one we chatted, I think one you slept.
Yeah. And then, because I remember at the time I was like, not sure how much I could be in my own head, because the intrusive thoughts were so bad. But you said this one thing to me and it stuck with, and it really changed. And it was like, I think it was just like, I hadn't gone to CBT yet. I'd just been having like talking therapy. And you just said like, oh, I do this thing where I turn a cat into a gnat. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Like a cat catastrophizing automatic thought into a, what
negative
is it?
Automatic thought.
And then, and I like that just stuck with me, but, and that really helped, just that one thing. Obviously the reflexology really helps as well, but I remember you saying that and I was like, and then I think for weeks I was like, cat into gnat, like in my head.
Oh,
every time
you.
Like one would like pop up in my head.
Well, I'm so pleased it was helpful. Have to come and give you another treatment again soon.
Oh, I would love that.
I'm guessing that your healthy habit then is something that has probably helped a lot with your mental health. And when you say that you struggle to be with your own thoughts, reading is a lovely form of escapism. So can you tell us a bit about why you love reading so much, what you've been reading?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, it's just like, I feel like for me, reading is just like breathing. Like I could not live without it. Actually, from on my Henley, my friends did a really small Mr. and Mrs. when we were out for dinner. And one of the questions, you know, one of those questions is like, what would you, if your house was burning down, what would you grab? And Sam had written the book she's currently reading. and I said it as well, we got it right. And I think for me, like it's fiction as well. Like fiction is so important, because I spent as well so much of my early 20s reading so many self-help books, so many like how to be the best version of yourself books, and a lot of you know, business books, and a lot of like, you know, the secret style books, how to be in control of your mind kind of thing. And then when I wasn't in control of my mind, and a lot of those books are about, they put a lot of on like, you know, your thoughts become things. And suddenly when my thoughts were like really awful, I was like, whoa, like I can't, I was like, but my thoughts become things. Like I was so scared. And I think that actually didn't help me at all, when I had to do a lot of learning of like, my thoughts don't mean anything, like anything, like they're just so automatic. For me, like, yeah, reading fiction and just escaping into another world helped so much. And I also just like, they help me just feel good inside. I find reading really just peaceful, and it could, like, I love books that almost sometimes not much happens. Like I, at the moment, I love the fact that there are such incredible thrillers out there, and you know, lots of things, lots of incredible writers, that some of my favorite authors just write about someone's life, like very mundane things happening throughout the whole time, like Olive Again, and those books by Elizabeth, oh, I can't think of her name now.
Emma Gannon.
Olive Kitteridge. There is, I read that too by Emma Gannon, Olive. That's really good too. But yeah, I do love reading. And yeah, should I talk about things I've read recently then?
Oh yeah, go on. Tell us, what are you reading now?
Well, at the moment, actually, I'm reading What a Shame by Abigail Bergstrom, which is, well, yeah, that was released this year. She's a literacy agent as well. And it's her first novel. And actually it's quite, yeah, it's about a woman who goes through a breakup and her dad passes away. I'm only like 50 pages in, but all her friends sort of, she goes to yoga and she's like doing all the right things. And I think her friends are going to encourage her to start doing like some mad things like ayahuasca. And yeah, I think it's going to take that kind of route. And I just read The Inseparables by Simone de Beauvoir, who's a French author, who, because I didn't do much like academic studies because I left school when I was 16. So a lot of people know her if they studied like French or literacy. But I've just discovered her writing. And this was actually a book that was not published. You know, it's from 1954. So it was written in 1954. And I find books written like back in that time as well just so mesmerizing, because like how the world is different now. Like, oh my goodness. And they didn't know that people would be, it's just like what was going on then, and they're writing it. And you really try and put yourself in that author's shoes as well, of like what's going on in the world and in their life. And you feel like you've just time traveled a bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's about a friend that she almost becomes like obsessed with when she was younger. Quite similar to Eleanor Ferrante, that series, when she's obsessed with their two best friends, and they, you know, they have that almost romantic relationship, but you know, intense friendship. So yeah, I'm going to continue to read lots of her novels as well.
What's your all-time favorite book, Lottie?
Oh, I couldn't. Okay, it changes all the time.
It's like saying, who's your favorite child?
I know. I love Greek mythology, so I love Song of Achilles, Madeline Miller's book, and Circe.
Loved Circe.
Yes. Wasn't it great? You'd love Jennifer Saint as well, Ariand. That's another Greek mythology.
I think I have that.
Well.
Yeah. I haven't read it.
She's got a few more coming out soon as well. What else would be my all-time favourite book? Oh gosh. I really loved Sally Rooney's first two novels. I loved both of those. I mean, I know everyone did, but not so much the third one. Have you guys read the third one? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I feel sad because I had like, you know, when you like, yes, this is an author I'm gonna read for the rest of my life, and I'm like,
it must be so hard as an author though, like feeling that pressure, you know, if you
I mean that's kind of what the third one is about, because she's you know, it's an author who feels that pressure and the fame and everything, and so yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what, if she does write another novel, I'm sure she is, like what that would be about, because maybe it was like she had to get over that third one and it hasn't potentially done as well. So now she's like, oh, it's fine. You know, now I can kind of write what I want to write. It must be really.
Yeah. We can cut this bit out if we're not allowed to say it, but Lottie, you're writing a book, right?
Yeah, kind of. Well, yeah, I am, but but it's one of those like imposter syndrome things, you know. I would love to write a fiction book, but obviously that's not what people expect from me. You know, people would expect to put, I get asked like a lot to write a Pilates book, and I don't think I ever will. I just don't know what I would write about. Like, obviously Pilates, but like, I'm like, you're going to get so much more if you just join the virtual studio and do it in real life. And I, as hard as, I'm sure people still do buy like textbooks, but I think it would only really get to like Pilates teachers. And even then, like, even as a Pilates teacher myself, like I rarely read a Pilates textbook, you know. I'm going to do a workshop, or I'm going to, so that's hard. And then I've had talks about, I think this is fine to talk about. Yeah, I was going to maybe write something that was more, and this is what I've written already, sort of memoir-y, but that's also extremely scary.
Done is better than perfect, Lottie.
I know, but then it's like, you know, out there forever. You can't really go back, can you? Not that I would want to, but so yeah, I actually would like to, I've done quite a few creative writing courses, like amateur kind of ones, and I think I would like to continue studying. Yeah, and then it's just about, I am, as much as I hate it, I think I am one of these people that needs like the validation before I, you know, that like being told, okay, yeah, you're a good writer, like yeah, you've done all the study, and yeah, but I am on that journey. Yeah.
So exciting. Lottie, thank you so much for joining us and for letting us break your podcast virginity. Thank you for being so wonderful and honest and sharing so much. It's been lovely.
Yeah, thank you for talking so openly about your mental health and everything. And it's a joy to have you on here.
Oh, thank you so much. And I can't wait for our pasta and swim date.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Lottie.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Lottie. You are just a little angel. I was actually just saying when we finished that chat with Lottie that I needed a big cry. I'm not really sure why, just feel very emotional. But I just think that everything that Lottie does is so honest and real, and she's just fab. So I feel very grateful to have her on.
Yeah, totally agree. I'd like to go and sit in a cafe with her and eat croissants and drink coffee and talk about books all afternoon.
Yes, please.
In case people didn't know, this is actually our final episode of the season, sadly. It has whizzed by. We've come to the end already. But as always, if you'd like the recipe for today's episode, which I suggest you definitely do, you can find it on our Instagram page, which we will leave in the show notes below.
And if you just can't bear to be without us whilst waiting for the next season, then you can find me on Instagram at Sarah Malks. Or if you'd like to practice yoga with me, then you are all welcome to use the code Kitchen Club to get your first month on my online platform At Home with Sarah for free. That's Kitchen Club, all in capital letters.
And if you want to find me on Instagram, I'm at Serena Louth, Louth. And I'd also like to offer you a tasty little discount off your first reflexology treatment if you live in London. So again, email me, quote Kitchen Club, and I'll give you 25% off. Reflexology is a gorgeous, gorgeous acupressure therapy on the feet. It is incredibly relaxing. So if you're curious and want to know more, then please do get in touch.
Thank you all so much for listening. As always, we appreciate you so very much. Have a wonderful day, wonderful week, wherever you are in the world. Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.